you're drawing us closer to you. And Lord, that we thank you that you never change. And Lord, we thank you that you're changing us. And Lord, we thank you that you're transforming our hearts. And Lord, you're peeling away the layers off of our lives that are perhaps have a hold of us. Lord, we want to surrender everything to you that you're speaking to us about this morning. And Lord, give us ears to hear your voice. And Father, that we would apply your word to our lives. And Father, that you would rule and reign in our lives wholeheartedly, that you would rule and reign in this place, that you would rule and reign in Black Falls and surrounding areas, Lord, that as other churches are gathering today, Father, I pray that you would bless them and encourage them. Father God, give them, the people in the congregations, ears to hear, and Father, to come and desire to do your work and to be obedient to you. Lord, I pray that as we go out this afternoon, Lord, that we be mindful of what we heard, and Father, we desire to share the good news to friends and family, or even strangers in the street. I pray, Father, that you would have your way here today. In Jesus' name, amen. That's okay. We still love you. This morning I want to open up in Joel chapter 2. Starting tomorrow, January 5th, we're going to, prayer and fasting for 21 days. And I have booklets for everyone, whoever wants to participate. Even if you want, if you want to fast for like 3 days, 5 days, 21 days, that's between you and God. But I would encourage all of us, there's 21 days of devotions that you could, do the whole time. And there's in here, who I want to pray for, what I'm fasting from. And also at the end of it, we're going to have just a prayer log. I have a prayer log in here. So write down your prayer and the date, and even when it got answered. And at the end of it, we're going to have a Sunday to give a testimony. How God moved, or how God worked in your life, or how maybe you shared the word of God to somebody, and they, just opened doors, right? There's so many things to be thankful for, because God is always working. And so this morning, I want to continue to talk about fasting. And fasting is actually an act of worship. Something that not to be like, oh no, fasting. It's not something to be scared of. It's a discipline. I shared like last week how it's like, how many of us want to go to the gym? I don't. But I mean, it's just, but we all get excited about, oh, a new year, I'm going to work out and get in shape. I'm going to eat healthier this year. I'm going to get up early. We get so excited, right? But fasting is like, Lord, help me, is drawing on the Lord's strength. In order to do anything in our lives, we need the Lord's strength, because we have good intentions. And we have good intentions for about a day or a week. So never take out a gym membership, January 1st. But it's like, Lord, help me, because I can't do this without you. And I need your strength to help me through this fast, whatever length of fast that you're placed on my heart to do, and whatever it is that you want me to fast from. Because fasting is from the heart. It's not a religious act. Because I shared about Isaiah 58 and how Israel did the fast the wrong way. It was a religious act. And God was not pleased with that. He's not pleased with religiousness. He wants it from the heart. He sees your heart. And as we sung that one song, I really love that. It's like, Lord, I want to worship you. From the heart. and to be like a child. And so as we read, so if you want one, I can come up after service and grab one or two, and you write in it, it's yours. So we're going to read Joel 2. So it's New King James Version. So now, therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders. Gather the children and nourishing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Because Israel had disobedience. Right? And likewise, sometimes the church is disobedience. And why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord will be zealous for his land and pity his people. In there, the leaders are calling the fast. And the leadership in this congregation, we lead by example. If you're a leader in the congregation, you're supposed to be leading by example, not be in the tail end. And you look at how when you fast, you want people to see like godly examples. And when I want, my heart is for the fast, is like, Lord, what do you want to do in our hearts this year? How do you want us to grow this year? What do you want me to let go of? Is there something in my heart that I don't want to let go of? And the fast is like, I'm surrendering my life. I surrender all to you, Lord. Because my life is not mine now. Is there things in my life? Is there resentment, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness in my heart? Is there things holding me back from truly receiving from the Lord? Is there areas in my life where I'm not trusting him? And as we go through the fast, he will speak to you. And I know that. And it's something not to be scared about. Because he wants, who doesn't want to hear from their dad? Right? You're going to your Heavenly Father, and He's going to speak and encourage you and develop you. Because we all desire, I believe, to be more like Jesus every day. To be a godly example in this world. And I believe that as the church grows, maybe look at the news, what's happening in this world, what's going on in this world. The body of Christ is the only ones that have true hope. And we have such confidence, knowing that this world is going to get worse. It's actually going to get worse. This is just a very tip of the iceberg. And yet, through this troublesome times in the world, we have peace. And we should be overflowing with joy, because we know that we are in the winning team. And we know our destination is not here, it's heaven. And we get to spend the rest of our lives, eternity, with our Lord and Savior. And so what's happening here should cause us to pray. Cause us to pray for people that don't know Christ. To pray for the for encouragement for people within our body of believers. And it's from the heart. That's the keyest, that's the biggest thing. It's the heart. So we're going to read Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." As they ministered to the Lord. See, they were worshiping the Lord. When we worship, it's ministry. It's in, the Lord, you think about this. Right now, how many other people were singing praises to God? Even around the world, because they're all different time zones, people are worshiping God and praising Him. And He hears that. He wants His children to praise Him. He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to say, "Lord, I'm not just going to live this life just for myself, but I want to serve You wholeheartedly because what You have done and still are doing in my life." And so they're praying. In Acts 13:2, it was a corporate prayer. The whole congregation came together and they prayed and fasted. Nehemiah chapter 1, or is it 2? Can't remember. But they came together and prayed together. They're praying through corporate, it's through the Bible, it's corporate fasts. And when we come corporately together, we're coming into unity to encourage one another, to help one another, to pray. There's been breakthroughs when people come together and pray and fast together. Because we all have this one purpose, one goal, I hope, is to see the Lord Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our lives, ruling and reigning in this congregation, in this town, that our lives would be transformed. Because we don't want to be the same person we were last year. We don't want to have the same old habits we had last year. We want freedom and to break free. Isaiah talked about that. He wants to break chains off of our lives. When we fast, fasting is also when you fast from whatever it is, you replace it with, so whatever you are giving up, whatever you're surrendering to the Lord, whatever is more dominant in your life than the Lord, it's like, "Lord, I'm going to, if it is chocolate, I bring that up because I'm terrible at that." And it's like, "Lord, I'm going to surrender this food to You because I go to that food to help it and to console me, so I feel good, rather than going to You." So I'm surrendering that to Him. Says, "Lord, I'm drawn from You for my strength and to be my peace, and to be my joy, to satisfy me." And so when I give that up in those times, that I'd be praying, right? There's prayer involved. Not just the fast from food or whatever the Lord's placed in your heart. Because if you just fast without prayer, that's just a diet. Because we don't want a diet. Diet's not good. We want to fast and pray. Talks about fasting and prayer, praying through the Bible. And sometimes I hear people say, "Well, I'll be like the beginning church." Well, they fasted and prayed often. They prayed and fasted about everything. They prayed and fasted about what they're going to be doing. There was But we're not going to just do these projects or do these things because we think it's right. But we're going to say, Lord, what do you want to do in my life today? How do you want to move in this congregation? Lord, how do you want me to operate in the giftings you have given me? It's us listening to the voice of God. And it's not going to be an audible voice. It's very rare. But when you read his word would illuminate, come alive, and you write it down. Certain scriptures will come alive. Maybe somebody will come along and say, and give you confirmation of what God shared with them, but he's also been speaking to you, so you know that's from God, because they're saying the exact same thing God has already been saying to you. So when we fast, we're spending time with the Lord. That's what fasting prayer is. We're spending time with the Lord. Because we always say we're too busy. Right? We're guilty of that. I'm too busy. And it's like, Lord, I really want to take time right now for you to put you in the proper place in my life, that you're the head of my life, and I follow you. And it's during that time of prayer and fasting, there's worship. Bible reading and prayer. It's actually a heart-related practice. From my heart, I want to do this. It speaks volumes when your heart, you know, a lot of times we do things to look good. Right? Oh, I'm doing the fast. How about you? But it's between God and you. It's not a bragging right. It's not a pin of honor. It's like, Lord, I really want to know you. And if we're having troubles during the fast, say, you know, can you pray for me? Because I'm having a difficult time right now fasting. Satan doesn't want you to fast either. Your flesh does not want you to fast either. Because your flesh loves the food. It loves the comfort. It loves the enjoyment of just relaxation, kicking it up, having the best life right now. But it's like, I want to grow with you, Lord, this year. So biblical fasting is not a hunger strike between you and God. It can be easy to think fasting as a way to add a oomph. When you fast, your prayer life will increase. Because you're turning to the Lord. When we fast, we're praying more. And it's like, Lord, how do you... And then also fasting is, it's like the Lord is also changing our lives. Fasting prepares our hearts to hear from God. The practice and the disciple... It's a discipline. Sometimes we lack discipline. Right? It's easy to get bad habits. It's easy to fall in a rut. But when I want to practice and to grow in a godly way, it's going to be difficult. Because the flesh has been ruling and reigning for a long time. That's why there's a struggle. It's not always Satan, it's the flesh. And so as we fast and pray, we're able to discern what comes from us, what comes from the world, and what comes from God. So discernment. When we fast and pray, we're going to have better discernment. So we're calibrating our ears and our heart to the voice of God. What's a calibration tool? The Bible. It calibrates us. It puts us in line with God's will and his ways. So the fast is a cry out to the Lord, declaring that we desire, we want to deny ourselves, and we want to humble ourselves. We want to deny ourselves. We want to refrain from our ways of life. There are benefits from fasting. Fasting helps you draw closer to God. Fasting helps you to humble yourself before God. James 4:10 speaks of that. 1 Peter 5:5 says, submit to one another, be clothed with humility. Humility is there. And for God resists the proud, it gives grace to the humble. Do you know we have pride in our lives? I know it's shocking, isn't it? None of us are proudful. Pride, you can see when pride is ruling and reigning in our lives, can't you? Well, I don't need to pray. Oh, I don't need to do this. I don't need to be obedient. I'm better than so-and-so. Pride, I don't need to forgive somebody. I'm good, right? You know, the biggest one is like when if we hold resentment and bitterness towards somebody. In Matthew, it talks about God, Jesus said to them, says, if you can't forgive somebody, how can God freely forgive you? If we're holding on to resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness because we think they don't deserve it, we don't deserve God's forgiveness either. It's like, forgive them. And as you forgive them, a chain of bondage that's holding you back will be broken. And then time of refreshing comes, and then be time of gaining trust. Because you don't, when you, there's times. Trust is earned. It's not a right, it's earned. And so what we are called to who forgive. So don't let pride get in our way. I don't need to fast, I'm good with God. Fasting is just another thing. But he's calling. In Matthew 6, talk about when you fast. Not if you're fasting, but when you fast. Fasting helps deny the flesh. Put off the old nature. Resist temptation. It helps you resist temptation to grow in self-control. You're denying yourself with food and other physical comforts. You can learn to rely on God's strength and resist temptation, that temptation to give in to your own fleshly desires. Because you're building the spiritual man, and the flesh, the old nature, is becoming weaker. So it doesn't rule and reign over you. You want the spiritual man to grow and to be healthy and vibrant. And so fasting helps you show solidarity with others, the community. You can show your support and concern with others and praying for them, praying for their needs, praying for strength. Your confidence and faith in God will be strengthened when you fast. You feel mentally and spiritually and physically refreshed. Your relationship with the Lord will become renewed and trusting Him and relying more on Him. Fasting also helps you to be set free from demonic influences. It's amazing how there's so much demonic influences among the church. There is a real Satan. There is real demons. And your flesh is real too. Fasting and prayer signify a deeper commitment and focusing and dependence on God, allowing His power, His strength to work through you. Jesus said some, we're going to be looking at Mark 9, 28, 29. Mark 9, 28, 29. So Jesus, you remember when the disciples said, you know, Lord, we were praying for this kid, and Lord, that he was not set free. And Jesus told them, says, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why can we not cast this demon out? So he said to them, this kind of can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now, for a believer, you can't have a demon living within you. You can be demonically oppressed because there's open doors and gives access to Satan to hound you. But you can't be, Satan cannot live, or demonic spirits cannot live in a believer. But you can be oppressed by it. Fasting is one of our spiritual weapons. It's a spiritual weapon that we have. God gives us weapons to use. Not to run and hide, but to move forward with. The armor of God, Ephesians 6, there's no protection on the backside of it. It's always offensive. Because God is our strength. He's holding us up. When it talks about James 4:10, says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If we're walking in humility and humbleness and meekness, he's the one who's strengthening you. He's the one that's upholding you. And also, you're not relying on your own strength. None of us have ever done that. Walk around in our own strength, trying to do things in our own strength, it kind of gets depressing. And it really becomes a failure. And when we walk in our own strength, then we get discouraged. We go, well, God wasn't enough. Of course he wasn't. Because you're doing it in your own strength rather than relying on the Lord. It's growing. When we fast, we want to grow. So we have to put our pride away. Because none of us know it all. Don't you want to be teachable? If you want to be teachable, then you're going to grow with the Lord. Because the Lord, it's like, Lord, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. I'm still learning. Fasting strengthens our faith in the Lord. Our focus is on the Lord who gives us authority to overcome. Fasting breaks down barriers and strongholds in the spiritual realm. Is there a stronghold in your life? Is there barriers? Is there a chain that's holding you back in your life? So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians. Did I put that up? 2 Corinthians 10? No? No, I never did. So we'll turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 10. Three to four. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds. Verse 5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing everything into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Casting down arguments, things that come into our mind and makes us doubt the word of God. Casting down things that are contrary to the word of God. We are being bombarded daily. There's a spiritual war happening around us. Right? So, to think that there is no demonic spirits happening, and we're not living in the millennium right now, Because if we were living in the millennium kingdom right now, there would be no demonic spirits operating. We are not living in the millennium kingdom. And why do I say that? Because I know there's churches preaching that. Deceiving their people. So we're not living in the millennium kingdom. Satan is still loose. He's still reigning and ruling in this world. And he's trying to discourage believers, try to lead believers astray, to manipulate them by believing wrong doctrines. That's why we need to know the Word of God. That's why we need to know our Bible. That's why during prayer and fasting, we're like in our Bible, reading His Word and spending time with Him, so that we would not be deceived and led astray. Be careful who do you listen to. Even check out what I say. Be like a Berean. Be like, Lord, is this really of you or not of you? Just don't listen to somebody because they have a large following. Because they could be the ones leading you astray. Ask the Lord, is this from you or not of you? Sometimes there's, so look, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. We're fighting against, we want to die to our flesh so it doesn't have a strong hold on our life. That's why sometimes it's hard to fast and pray. Because we're so comfortable in our flesh. We don't want to give up something because it's going to cost you something. It says, pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus says that. Deny yourself. It's going to cost you something. Do I really want to know the Lord? That's the biggest question. Do I really want to know the Lord more than I did last year? Do I really want to follow Him and trust Him in ways that I have not yet trusted Him? That's a question. Am I willing to give up bad habits, sinful habits, iniquities? Am I willing to give all that up and follow the Lord more so? Or am I just going to be proud and just give up excuses why I'm not going to? This is how God created me and this is why I'm going to do it. That's a cop-out. But ask the Lord, Lord, where am I proudful at? Where am I walking in pride? And fasting and praying will break that pride out of us. So we deal with strongholds in our lives. Prayer and fasting helps to break that. You think you're free only to find out when you're not. Sometimes the cycle repeats itself in your life. A habit repeats itself. Anger, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness. Seems like it's always going around. Mistrust. It could be whatever it is. Something that's always happening. Maybe it's a stronghold. Maybe it's something that that's not really been dealt with. Isaiah 58, verse 6. It's not on the thing. But Isaiah 58, verse 6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? The Lord wants to break yokes off His children. He wants the heavy burdens be lifted off of His children. Isaiah 58, verse 6. He wants to break those things off your life. Prayer and fasting is the key. Prayer and fasting is the weapon that we use to do this. And it's the Lord that is doing it. Because we're coming into alignment. We're surrendering ourselves to Him. You know, there could be a bondage of insecurity in our lives. Maybe all your life you struggled with the sense of that you're not good enough. And you're consumed with feelings of you're not adequate enough. So I felt inadequate. But through prayer and fasting, through the Lord healing me in that area, because when you feel inadequate, you're going to get proudful. And so I'm just going to pull power through this and show that I'm not dumb or I'm not able to do this. Instead of rallying in the Lord helping you to do it, He strengthens you through that. And so you don't have to prove yourself. He's the one strengthening you. You know, it could be any one of us, we may feel weak. And you know that the enemy is going to work in those areas where we are not, where we have lack of self-confidence, or maybe not feel good enough. The Lord makes us good enough, but we have to believe what His Word says. But any weak area in our lives, the devil will, he knows that. He knows your weaknesses better than we do. He knows when you're tired or you're hungry. Or when if you're tired at night, when's the most temptation happens at night? When you're tired, when your guard's down. With the things that, TV programs, certain programs or certain things on your screen pop up at certain times of the day. Why? Because your guard's down. Things happen for a reason, because the devil watches you and knows when things are happening. You're going to be the weakest. Maybe something happened in your life that, you know, broken heart. Somebody broke your heart. Somebody did something, and then you turned to something to feel better about yourself or feel validated. He wants you to turn away your life, your eyes off the Lord. So Satan doesn't want you to know the Lord nor trust Him. But through prayer and fasting, it's like, Lord, I'm humbling myself. I want to be broke free from this bondage. These things that are have a whole thing in my life. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's anger, unforgiveness, bitterness. There's a whole list of things that come on. But if there's a reoccurring issue in your life and you can't seem to get by it or pass it up, pass it away, or get away of it, then fasting and prayer is a great way to break that yoke of bondage off your life. And the Holy Spirit will reveal that to you. Maybe there's religiousness. Do you know there's a spirit of religiousness? Maybe the Lord will speak that to us. We're reminded that God always, His ways are always higher than ours. If you want to fast until you figure out exactly how it all this works, you will never do it. So if you're going to always want to fast and try to figure things out, you're never going to figure out everything. It's like, Lord, show me what you want me to learn from this fast. And the next time we do another fast, Lord, what do you want me to learn? Lord, what are you trying to show me in my life? Sometimes we analyze things in our human mind. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why would I fast? Well, look at 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Does the fast seem foolish to us? Am I thinking with the right mind? Am I thinking with a more natural mind? 83 times prayer and fasting is talked about in the Bible. God wants His children to pray and fast with a heart that is saying, Lord, I want to humble myself. I want to deny myself. I want to trust you. I want to depend on you. I want to rely on you like I have never before. And Lord, I want to be to know spiritual discernment and what is not of you and what is of you. Jesus, when we fast and pray, repentance comes. The Lord might be speaking to you during your fast and prayer, and maybe there's things in your mind, in your heart that have been buried so deep. And only the Lord, the Holy Spirit, could actually go into those inner parts of being and reveal things that have been buried so deep. And then maybe there's something that you need to repent of. And he's gentle. And he's going to say, Kyle, you need to repent of this. You need to deal with this. He wants his children to be set free. He wants to break off yokes and burdens. He wants us to trust him. So there comes a revival. When you start hearing God's voice more clearly, that revives us. He becomes the bread, the life, the breath that we breathe. We become renewed and we're strengthened. Our lives are totally different. Things that would hold us back are no longer holding us back because they're being broken off of us, no longer have strongholds over our life. Repentance is huge. So 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, what fasting is. Humbling yourself. Humbling, saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want my pride to be taken out of me. I don't want pride to get between you and me. Pride keeps us away from the face of God. That was the fall of Satan. And then we know how Satan deceived Eve. Pride comes. So if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's what prayer and fasting is. Humbling ourselves, seeking him and praying, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. We pray for this land. We pray for this congregation. Is there things in our own lives that are hindering us to grow? God is calling us, his people, to repent of our sins. Sin is sin. There's no black and white. It's like no sin that's greater than other sin. It's all sin. It's missing the mark. It doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. But it's like, Lord, I'm going to repent of that because I know what's wrong. And you're convicting me of that sin or what I said. If healing is to come to our land, or even to our own lives, God is just waiting for the church to truly humble herself and come to him with true repentance. That's how revival starts. Repentance. In the Highlands and stuff, and other places where there have been real revivals, started out with 6 people praying. Not a big prayer group. Repenting and saying, Lord, I don't want to live with sin in my life. I don't want to live with iniquity in my life. I want to be set free from it. And then revival starts because you're in the very presence of God. When you're in the very presence of God, you can't hide anything. And he's revealing it. And people would be crying and repenting. And even, as I heard in the Highlands, even when people would, revival in the church would start, the Holy Spirit would go to the bars and convict people of sins. It wasn't the people going out, it was the Spirit of God convicting people of sin. And people were coming to the church because the church was praying and fasting and seeking the face of the Lord. And the Lord was moving because his people were humbled and walking in meekness and praying for the lost. And the Holy Spirit's the one that breaks the hardness off people's hearts. So during the fast and prayer, is there people that we're praying for? Because I have a slew of people in my family that are very hard-hearted to the gospel, which breaks my heart. But if we get on our knees and intercede for them, and pray for those people, or pray for whoever the Lord is pressing on your heart. In Daniel 9:3, I don't know if I have that up. Nope. Do I? Oh. I love, we went through Daniel a month ago, roughly. Well, got to that point. But Daniel was praying. Daniel prayed a lot. And Daniel prayed in an ungodly nation. It wasn't a Christian nation. It was paganism all over, different, just like Canada. Canada is not a Christian nation. Canada is full of demonic spirits and a lot of pagan things. But that should not discourage us from praying and seeking God's face. We should be on our knees and praying and seeking the Lord. Daniel was like, then I set my face towards the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. It speaks of humility. Praying, seeking the Lord. Wouldn't it be exciting to see what the Lord's going to do? But what does it take from us? Humility. Humbleness, denying ourselves. Lord, I repent of always thinking about myself rather than putting others before me. Daniel stood in the gap. That's what he did. You know, Daniel was a righteous man. He had sin in his life. But he repented and dealt with it. And he prayed for his people. The Lord is looking for men and women of God today who will stand in the gap like Daniel to pray and fast for this world, to pray and fast for this congregation, to pray and fast for believers within the congregation. To actually see that'd be exciting to see. It's like, Lord, this is how you have revealed yourself. Please, I'm humbling myself before you. And I'm tired of the same old stuff every single day. Lord, what do you want to break off in my life? Is that kind of encouraging? I think so. Might not sound encouraging, but it's like, Lord, I want to give up these things because I really want to know you. Think of it when you first came to know the Lord, how excited you were. Prayer and fasting is reviving us. God's never asked us to improve ourselves. All he asks is us to follow him, trust him, and surrender whatever it is that he's speaking to us about. The Holy Spirit does the transformation in our lives. We can't do the transformation. Christ has to do the transformation. And that's a load off our shoulders. It's like, Lord, I'm surrendering this to you today. So, Lord, we thank you that this day we are expectant and we desire to surrender whatever it is and give it to you wholeheartedly. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you would encourage us and Father, to speak to us about what type of fast or what to give up. But Lord, it's going to be from the heart because we want to give this to you. And Lord, we desire to know more of you. And Lord, we desire for the new man to be strengthened. And the old man, the old nature would fall away. And the things of our past would no longer have any control over us or anything. But Lord, we want to walk in the newness of Christ, to trust you, depend on you, to give us different eyes, be able to see truly how you want us to walk and live. And Lord, I know that you're going to strengthen us. Your word says so. Lord, we desire for pride to be fallen off of us in areas of our life where it may be the most holding us back. Lord, we want you to rule and reign. We want you to revive us, to bring a revival in our own hearts, to have a deeper love and passion for you. And Lord, I pray a protection over our minds. Lord, we apply the blood of Christ over us, Lord. But Lord, we desire that you would protect us. You put your hedge of protection around us. And Lord, thank you that you have given us the armor of God to stand against demonic influences. Thank you for the shield, the sword, the garments, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals, so our feet would be steadfast. We stand fast in your word today. And Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, yeah, sorry. Lord, we want to thank you for the finances that you give us. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, we also pray for the Harrisons and stuff when they vote to go to South Sudan. We just pray for them. Father, we thank you that we could bless other people. And Lord, we thank you that we give back from a grateful heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So I know there's temptation. There's birthday cake left over from last weekend. And there's coffee and cookies in the back, so if you want, stick around, chat.